Great, thank you. We'll go ahead and move on to action item number two. Report and possible discussion on investment officer's report for second quarter of fiscal year 2011. John Hobbs.
Thank you again. This is, of course, a recurring item, as you all know, each quarter. It's actually required under the Public Funds Investment Act that we report to you each quarter the status of our investments. And so we do so, and there's a fairly detailed report, again, that you received in your diligent materials listing all of the investments that we have in our portfolio. This is simply a summary. You can look at the bottom line, and, of course, it shows sort of the trends for the last 2 years approximately of what the book value of our total investment portfolio is. And you can see at the end of February it was $148 million. Now, I just talked about $109 million a minute ago. The difference between the 109 and 148 is in restricted, in some of our restricted funds. The 109 was unrestricted. That's really money that you, the board, have discretion to utilize and stuff. But the approximately $40 million is either in bond proceed accounts or it's some of our customers' money that we're holding and things like that. So that's why that number's higher than that. Of course, you can see, and I'm sure you're still aware, that interest rates remain at the historic lows that they do. And you can see there's virtually no change from the average yield to maturity from the last quarter. Our reinvestment, when we go to when we have maturities, and most all of our investments, actually approximately 90% of our investments are in certificates of deposit now, because that's what offers the best rate of return. They're either FDIC insured or they're collateralized deposits, so they are secure from that standpoint. We have them throughout a number of banks based on what they bid at the time, and we invest with, of course, what we can get the best return at. But returns are at an incredible low at this particular point. And we have today Susan Anderson, who's with Valley View Consulting. Susan and her group, Valley View, helps us really with the strategy and also the selection of some of our investments. And Susan's here. She has a short presentation to sort of talk a little bit about what the economic conditions are at this point and why the rates are as low as they are. And I'll just let Susan go ahead.
And my advances.
Make sure they'll at that point.
Okay, great. Okay, to put those awful rates into context, the 109, we generally look at the average one-year treasury rate, because your portfolio is at an average of 1 year. It's actually a little bit less than 1 year right now. Those current rates, yours is a 1.09, the current rate is a 0.24 for those particular types of instruments. And to further examine where interest rates have been, Texpool, as an example of a liquidity rate that you're all familiar with, I'm sure, had pre-recession had been a rate of about a 3.25, and now it is at a 0.09. So it's just incredible how far interest rates have fallen. Where are we now and where are we going? I was asked to kind of give a five-year forecast, and I can tell you that any economist right now would say that crystal ball looks more like a bowling ball looking into it right now. There are so many moving parts. But as you realize, we've been through the worst destruction of wealth since the Great Depression. 7 million people have lost their jobs. Just about everyone's property, home values have fallen by historic amounts. So we are at a very low level, but the good news is we're looking up. It's kind of like the patient that fell off the cliff in 2008. We were put on life support by the federal stimulus programs, and now we're starting to work through getting the patient revived. Beginning in the next quarter, in late June, we will be finished with the second round of government stimulus. So it's a little bit like taking the patient off life support. So it's a little hard to know exactly which direction the patient is going to go. But I can say that most of the signs these days are looking for improvement. All but the housing sector seems to be getting better. The manufacturing sector of this economy is really starting to become strong, which is good news. The housing sector is lagging. Employment, to a certain extent, is lagging, but it is now starting to come back, and we'll talk about that in a second. So I think that long-range things are a little bit uncertain still, but we're still looking for modest improvements. And quite frankly, a slow-growing economy is much better than looking for a strong resurgence. It's a little bit like riding a roller coaster ride. You don't want to have those steep valleys followed by the steep hills. You want to see something that's a little bit more gradual. That's going to be much healthier for the economy. Okay, next slide. We went back to try to do the five-year forecast looking, and our source of the forecasts were the Federal Reserve Board Bank of Philadelphia. Every quarter, they go to a select group of forecasters to try to get some feel for where the economy is going. What we see over this next year is that we just finished fourth quarter of 2010 with an annualized 3.1%. It's not setting the world on fire, but it's a good number. You see that beginning in the third quarter of this year, we have a little bit of a downturn. Again, that's a result of coming off of the federal stimulus in June. They expect that GDP will suffer just a bit, but then we'll go back up and looking for, next slide, through the next several year basis, you'll see that we'll be getting, or the forecasters anticipate that by 2014, we'll be well back into a sustainable growing economy. Slow growth in the beginning, and then we'll pick up steam. Next slide. The unemployment is what's on everyone's mind. The last unemployment rate really beat these forecasters' assumptions. They were forecasting still above 9%. We just dipped to 8.8%. It's a good trend to keep going. We added 216,000 jobs this last month. To put that in context, in a fast-growing economy, you look for about 250,000 jobs to be added each month. So 216 is not quite 250, but it's still moving the right direction. Now, we see that the private sector has been adding a whole lot more jobs, and what the drain on the growth of the jobs has been, and the pressure is being exerted in the government sector. So we need to start to see some government sector get back involved in the employment market. Next slide. The unemployment rate by the end of 2014 is projected to be about a 7%. To put that into context, just pre-recession, we were at a 5% unemployment rate. So we're still not going to be back as robust as we were right before the downfall. But again, it's going to be a long, drawn-out process. Next slide. The CPI, the Consumer Price Index, is a measurement of inflation. You can see that inflation still does not look like it's getting overheated, and we're not expecting that to happen. One contrast to look at, though, is the blue bar, which is the raw CPI, and then you take out the core CPI, which takes out all of the food and energy. That has really been the inflationary pressure right now, is the rising energy prices, the rising food prices. Once those start to abate, you're going to start seeing a sustainable economy without inflation getting too overheated. Next slide. And you get, again, you see pretty controlled inflation even out to 2013, which is about as far as any forecaster is willing to give projections to date. Next slide. Now, I mentioned that we're a patient that's been on life support. It's starting to get a little bit better now. However, on shaky legs, any of these events that you see happening are could take the patient back over the edge, and that's why you really have to pay attention in this kind of economy to what's going on. The Japanese earthquake, right at first it was a negative impact on the economy, starting to now become a more positive as the proposals for rebuilding, et cetera, come through. Middle East is going to continue to be a question mark, where that goes. The European, position of the European economy, the euro, and the impacts that has on our export potential. The BRIC, that's the Brazil, Russian, India, and China, economy is cooling, those emerging markets have become the producers of the world. So they are getting more and more dependent upon the consumptions of the normally healthy economies of the U.S. and European governments or economies. So we're watching to see how they start to be impacted by the downturn that has taken place here. And then obviously the domestic housing market has a long way to go and probably several years before it becomes the economy that we had had in the past. Next slide. So where do we think your portfolio will be headed over the next 4 to 5 years? I could say that the forecast that staff has come up with is pretty conservative, and I think that's the best way for a government to look at things. The blue line is where economists think a one-year curve will be in 1 year, 1 year from now. And you're looking at, by 2016, they're expecting the curve to be, a one-year security to be yielding again over, I think it was about a 4.25. Which is about where it was right before the economy started to tank. So it's going to take, as they're showing, even on the blue line or the red line, that it's going to take quite some time for the economy to heal. Therefore, the forecast to be just a slight uptick in your interest rates is conservative. I think in the end, we will see better than that, but I think it's more appropriate to give a conservative outlook given where the economy is and how far it needs to go. Are there any questions? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Keep up with our discipline, and our discipline is to always have a laddered maturity. And when you have a laddered maturity, you're protected when interest rates go up or down because you have spread your rates. As you can see, having a 109 rate of return versus a 0.31 just shows the advantage of having a ladder in place, and that's our discipline.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.